Robots in disguise.
Is that your take on that one, is it, Luke?
It is.
Hello and welcome to the Ander and Pube Show podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, and hello to you all. This is season 2, episode 4.
Yes. Oh, God,
and
4.
We're back.
Halfway through the season again.
Yeah, we're back. How are you today, Luke?
Good. No, well, no, actually, I'm hot as balls.
It is stinking hot in
yes,
here.
Yes, it is.
It is as hot as the hellfire from which I spawned in here. Sweaty. Yeah, no, but
so how are you?
Oh, yeah,
you doing all right?
I'm good. Yep. Back at work.
Yes.
Back at work.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
Since when?
This has been 1 week I've been back.
Yes.
But it was 13 months off work.
Oh, God.
That's 1 year and 1 month.
I had a day off last week and I felt guilty.
Yeah, well.
One day.
The guilt wears off over time. No, I actually felt great for all of those 13 months.
Yeah. How is the new job going?
It's quite good. Back in the swing of it. It's hard to get back into the routine of working.
I imagine it would be.
Like having to wake up in the morning. Or even just, I don't remember the last time I stayed awake for 8 hours straight. Like, I need naps.
You are like a child.
So, yeah, I'm back into it, though, and trying my darndest.
It's a long commute, though, to your new job, isn't it?
Mm. Mm.
Have some coffee, put it down.
Excuse me.
Tell me the story.
Very unprofessional. It is a bit of a journey
out
there, because I'm still living out here in the suburbs.
Yes, exactly.
It's like a share house out here now.
There's four
of us here now.
Yeah, and how's all that working out? I had predictions.
You did early on predict that there would be some tension among housemates.
Not anything to do with the people who live here, but just share houses in general.
Well,
I went through it.
Yeah, I've never lived in one. You have.
It's terrible.
You know how these things
work. It's the worst thing ever.
And I was saying, you know, that's going to be fine. But yeah, it is pretty good. The dynamic's fine.
Yeah.
There's, you know, some of us are messier than others.
Yeah.
The problem is, I am now the clean member of the house.
And that is a terrifying thought.
That's saying something.
That you are the cleanest person in
this
house.
There is some people. There's a particularly messy person.
Yeah.
I won't name any names.
No, exactly.
It's definitely not me.
Yeah.
But, it's quite fine. It's better than living here, so I gotta say, it's nice, and it's definitely better than the time I was homeless for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
My living arrangements in Japan sort of fell through, and
I
had to find my own apartment, but it's not as easy as done as it is said. And
which was a struggle.
It was difficult to say. So you can imagine that I had quite a time doing it.
Yeah. And there was a time when you were just a homeless Japanese man.
Yeah. And in fact, it is extremely hard to say in Japanese when you don't speak the language. Try to communicate to someone that you don't have a house and you would like one, please.
Yeah.
So
there's
probably
a few indicators that you don't have a house.
So for those 4 weeks, I didn't have a lot of cash going on.
No.
Like, I did have, you know, still bills to pay and all that kind of junk back here. So I was pretty light on. So I couldn't even really afford to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
I stayed in like a hostel a few nights.
Yeah.
And then when I couldn't even afford that, like an internet cafe.
Oh, God.
Where you get like a cubicle and you can sleep there overnight.
Oh, my God.
And, so I did that. I had literally had like a backpack and a umbrella, and it was the rainy season.
So
because they kick you out of those internet cafes quite early in the morning, you got to fill a whole day before you can go back
to bed.
So you got a day with nothing to do. I didn't have a job or anything
12 hours or so.
To do. So I just wandered the streets of Tokyo.
Seeing the sights.
Yeah, and it was actually really fun, and
I really
enjoyed it.
That's why you came back so trim and terrific.
Yeah, a lot of walking. I'm talking like 20 Ks a day. Anyway, so it's sticky and hot.
Yeah.
And I'm walking around, and I've got this leather backpack, which sounds cool, and it looks quite cool.
But
in practice, a leather backpack is extremely sweaty and it doesn't breathe well.
How do those cows do it?
I imagine they would sweat like pigs. Anyway, so that was, I'd be walking and my back's just drenched.
So
I had to aerate the back. So I would hook my backpack onto my umbrella.
Okay.
And kind of carry it that way and
give
swing
yourself
it,
a bit of room.
Swing it over my shoulder.
Hold it over
my shoulder and carry on. So that was all fine. I was wandering around. And then, but then I caught my reflection in the window of a shop, and I was like, "Oh, who's that guy carrying? Oh my God, that's me carrying a bindle. I'm literally carrying a bindle." That's what I knew. Like, that's the moment that it dawned on me that I've you've really hit rock bottom when you suddenly realize you're carrying a bindle. I'm that guy. I'm a homeless dude.
Like, you probably haven't showered in a while.
Yeah.
Dirty,
grimy,
homeless, bindle-carrying jerk.
Yeah. Essentially, just a homeless guy with all his possessions in a bag. a nomad.
You know, the only way you could look more like a homeless person if you wrapped that bag in like a white sheet with red polka dots on it.
Yeah.
That is
that's the nomad
quintessential bindleware.
Yeah, bindleware. For all your bindle needs. Get on down to bindleware.
Yeah. In the bindle district.
My bindle doubles as an umbrella. It's a revolution. Anyway.
We haven't done this in a long time, really.
Yeah, it's actually been over a month since the last episode was recorded. There was a bit of a gap.
We've had some personal issues.
Yeah, I hate Luke, namely. I hate you so much.
So it's made it awfully awkward to get in a room together.
Just biting my tongue.
But now we're back in the game now.
We're back here, and... last episode we nearly needed this amount of time just to edit that
yeah
down.
We really did.
It's the drunk episode, the one where I experimented to see how drunk I
could get. We haven't had a lot of feedback on that yet, but I'm sure it's going to come rolling in,
and it's going to be mostly in the form of hate mail.
Letter bombs and such.
If you can actually sit through that episode,
you're a big man than I am.
Power to you. So it was a bit of a messy episode, but that's fine. But in actual fact, the recording went for over 70 minutes. And it is watered down to about 27 minutes. There's an outro on the end of that, but the actual 70 minutes, we condensed
And I did that deliberately because I knew there was going to be a lot of editing involved, and there would be things that were, you know, unairable.
Yep. So it is very
Twan held up his end of the bargain. He held it strong.
Big thank you to Twan for that, because I was just a jerk. And he was very patient. And in hindsight, when I listened back to it, he was very patient with me.
You know, we recorded for that long just to hope that we can condense it down to, you know, half an hour of gold.
Yeah.
And gold was a...
I don't know if gold's
overstatement.
Yeah. It's more of a...
It was ambitious.
Yeah. I think we found some grimy old bronze or something in there.
Shameful bronze.
Yeah. but, you know, we did our best, and our best was pretty horrible. but the worst was after the podcast finished. I was just a mess.
I was not in the mood to deal with you anymore, so me and Twain got the hell out of there.
Yeah.
I left you alone with your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, an hour and a half before that, you were a normal person.
A normal one.
And then you've left her, come into this room.
Yep.
Gone back out to her, just a drunken, sneaking mess.
Mess. Yeah. She told me about the shower thing.
Yes. She told me as well. She had to literally strip you down.
Yep.
Put you in the shower.
Yeah.
And just turn on the water.
Yeah. And I
for 20 minutes or so.
Sat on the ground of the shower like you do when you're really drunk.
Like you do when you're a baby.
Yeah. And just... barked orders at her. She had to like control the water head. So I'd be like, more water, hotter,
get on my back,
get it on my face, that kind of stuff.
You didn't puke on your junk, did
I'm
you?
I'm really sorry about that. No, I didn't puke on my junk.
Well, that's good.
Well, actually, I did puke into my rubbish bag, so technically, yes, I did puke on my junk. You'll have that. Hey, we should probably get on to
we've been
the
screwing around
show.
For
10 minutes or so, and we haven't even mentioned the theme of the show.
Yes, the theme of the show.
There is a theme.
The theme is, wow, you don't see that every day.
Yeah, quite good.
This was a theme that I thought of back in, you know, early season one.
Yeah, it's an old theme. One. It's hanging around for a while.
Yeah, since we've been doing this season two, you know, I've been a bit experimenting with different ways of doing this.
Yeah, the season one was very much just old-fashioned storytelling, anecdotal stuff.
Good old-fashioned storytelling.
Season two, we want to do a bit more tricky, edited stuff, skits and whatnot.
Yeah.
And
and it kind of came about because I was driving home when you were away.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to do this thing sometimes where I try to just see something very quickly,
mm-hmm,
and pick out as many details as I can about that thing, whether it's a car or a person, in case if that was a crime being committed, I would have a recollection of a lot of details that I could give. I just do that sometimes.
Yep.
And I was driving along. I saw an old woman just up ahead of me walking.
Right.
And I decided I was going to do it. So, hey, as of...
Were you suspicious that she was committing a crime?
No. It's just something I like to practice. Okay. Something to keep the brain, you know, clicking over. I know she had a green shawl. She had a walking stick. Probably 5 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-80s.
Right, yep.
As I'm walking past...
Like quite old.
Yeah. As I'm driving past, she turned around to all the traffic,
mm-hmm,
and then just I almost heard her go and spit a massive loogie onto the ground. That was...
You do not see that every day.
No.
From an 80-odd-year-old lady.
80-year-old bird, yeah. And then just turn around and keep on walking. Very, very strange.
That's going to put you off your lunch, isn't it? That's quite horrible. Yeah.
Exactly. So in the theme of, you know...
Yeah, so we were wanting to get back to the old storytelling days.
Yes, exactly.
So we've got the theme, which is quite open.
It is. It's vague.
You don't see that every day?
No.
Vague. Good. Yeah. We can fit a lot in there.
Yes.
We're doing it old school today. That's what we're doing.
Speaking of
old school, I've got something for your ass.
A reindeer is actually just a gay moose.
Is that right?
Yeah. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, wow.
Big gay moose.
Big old gay. Okay. Wow.
There you go.
Wow, that's a very interesting thing indeed.
There you go.
Should we get...
Story time.
Story time it up. I'm going to story your face off right now, dude. Seriously.
All right, everyone, set your ears to stun and your attitudes to French. Get it.
French? Okay. French works. Okay, so this is a story which I love. It's about when I was... It's set in Japan, in Tokyo, in the busy streets.
I love this story. Oh, my dear God.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Funniest thing... you've told me since you got back.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is when I tried to do a job. I tried to get some work in Japan, and
I don't still understand what you did.
I did a few days of work. I was in a sales position, which was commission only, and because I didn't sell anything, I didn't make any money. So it was basically a non-paying job.
Yeah, which
sucks. It's the worst kind of job you can get.
Doesn't help.
Yeah. So anyway, it was during that time, and it was my lunch break, and it was the busy business end of Tokyo. And so it's lunch, so everyone's bustling around,
trying to get busy,
and they're stressed out Japanese businessmen everywhere
in
their suits. And
you were stressed out, you know.
It was hot, very bothersome sort of weather.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm crisscrossing through the streets and going heading foodward, and
just trying to pick fights. You know,
no, it wasn't at all. But anyway, I did happen to annoy someone. A guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what I did. Maybe I cut him off or bumped into him or something.
Yeah, whatever.
But he took a particular dislike to me.
Yeah, which is hard to do in Japan. They're very polite.
Yeah, yeah. He gave me a little shove.
But
you are
a jerk, so...
He gave me a few angry sounding words. I don't know what they meant, but he made it quite clear that he was angry at me.
Yeah.
Anyway, nothing came of it. I just walked off and like, whatever, you're an idiot. So I headed to, obviously, McDonald's.
Obviously.
Because that's where I go for lunch. I went in, I had my meal, and then on the way out, just going back out onto the street, and who should I see but angry Japanese businessman.
There he is.
He's waiting there
for you.
And he's seen me and gone, I'm going to stare this guy down.
Yeah, there's
He's made the conscious decision to death stare me, and he was committed to it. And so he's hit me with the death stare.
Right in the soul.
Yeah, right in the face. And but unfortunately for him, he just happened to be holding a McDonald's soft serve ice cream.
Ah, yes.
And so he's holding it and death staring me, but he just couldn't help but take a little lick. Take a little lick of the ice cream whilst trying to death stare me down.
That does not work.
No, it does not work. It does not work at all.
No. It's conflicting actions.
You cannot look ominous whilst taking a lick of a delicious treat.
Frozen delightfulness.
You cannot do it. So that was hilarious. And I laughed directly at his
face.
Oh,
my God.
But to his credit, he held on to his death stare even with me laughing at it. So it was quite good.
That's the thing that was going through his head. So, there's that guy I don't like.
Yeah.
Death stare.
Stare him down.
Stare.
Hold it. Hold. Is that vanilla I can smell?
Jeez, I'm warm.
Just take a quick lick.
He won't even know.
Oh, wait, no. Stare him down. Stare him down. Be strong. Be strong. Oh, my tongue's coming out. That's delicious, but looking angry.
It's like there's no way you could have a death stare while you were like sitting in front of a cake with candles and a party hat on.
Yeah, there's certain things you cannot death stare whilst doing.
You couldn't death stare while like playing with a puppy.
No.
No, there's just no way.
No.
Confliction.
Yeah, party hats and puppies do not work well with death staring.
Exactly.
Unless, of course, you're some kind of evil clown who's going to kill a puppy.
That is a terrible image.
I'm sorry. It's a new low for me. I don't know where that came from.
You know, speaking of puppies, though, when me and my girlfriend moved to our new neighborhood, a year and a half ago, I really want a dog.
Yeah,
like
I
like I've mentioned on this podcast many a time.
Several times.
And because I couldn't get a dog, I decided that we would go down to the local dog park, have a bit of a walk around, see some dogs retroactively. Right. You know what I mean?
Or just regularly actively.
Exactly.
Either one.
So we're down there, walking around the track. There are dogs everywhere. Hundreds of dogs, hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a bit of a commotion on the other side of the park.
Right.
And I see a great big St. Bernard.
Oh, those are those big ones, right?
Giant ones. He's got a barrel around his neck. He's got brandy in it, I guess. And he is like really going for it. He's running. I'm God, he might be going to attack someone or save, you know, someone caught in an avalanche.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what his thought process was.
But he's on the run. He's going for something.
And then the crowd cleared a little, and I noticed two sausage dogs chasing him. I'm like, what happens to that dog that two sausage dogs are a threat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why is he cowering from small sausage dogs?
He's massive.
They do not pose a threat. You know, that gives me the imagery of like, you know, like that dog's gone into a deli and stolen a string of sausages and they're like, you know, trailing behind him.
Yeah, and the deli man's chasing him trying to get his salami back.
Give me back my salami. Or whatever accent a deli man happens to have. that's what brings that to my mind.
Yes.
That's quite good.
Hit the old spontaneous thing again.
Okay.
Somnambulism.
Right.
Is the phenomenon of sleepwalk murdering.
Wow.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You mean murdering someone while they're sleepwalking?
No, you're sleepwalking and murdering at the same time.
Wow.
Yes,
I did not know that that was a.
I watched a program on it the other day, and it happens a lot. A lot of people like kill people in their sleep.
You're scaring me a little bit.
Yeah, and then just go back to sleep.
Wow.
You know, it's horrible, really.
Oh, yeah,
it happens so much that it can actually be a defense, in insanity.
In a legal case, you can
like
plead
sleepwalk
death.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very strange, you know. I can't imagine what these people are dreaming about when this is going on.
Maybe it's something really innocent, like they're just dreaming that they're carving up a turkey or something. Wake up Christmas morning and I know.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Not again. That's quite...
Every Thanksgiving!
Every time! that's quite good. Dreams. Speaking of dreams, do you know what I find really fascinating?
Yeah.
The concept of lucid dreaming.
Yeah, okay.
Which is when people can be conscious of the fact that they're asleep and they're dreaming. But usually when you gain consciousness in sleep, you wake up.
Yes.
But these people have a skill where they can remain sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's like a Jedi mind trick.
Very much so. From what I know of Jedi, yes. But basically, because they've realized they're dreaming, they can then do anything.
Yeah, and you can control it.
They can control it. They can go, I'm going to start flying now, and they fly away. Yeah. They can go, I'm going to turn everyone into cake and eat their faces off, and then they start doing that. Really, it's up to them, and I think that's just amazing.
I don't know if it's a skill you can necessarily learn.
Well, apparently it is.
Oh, really?
But it's not easy. It's quite difficult. I guess there's people that can just naturally do it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to do it. It'd be fun, because my dreams are actually really mundane. Never had the flying dream. The flying dream is common.
Yeah.
People say, oh, it's the best dream and whatnot. I've never flown in my dreams.
Neither have I, really. I have trouble running in my dreams sometimes. I just can't visualize running.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, it's impossible to read words in a dream, interestingly. Next time you're dreaming and trying to read something, you'll notice that it's unreadable.
If you're having a dream where all you're doing is sitting and reading,
it's going to be a very boring dream. But
get out in the world, experience.
Speaking of that, this is quite gross. But,
do a language
this
warning.
This will give you a real idea of how boring my dreams are.
Yeah.
I had a few years ago. I had a sex dream.
Yep. Oh God, here we go.
Yeah. And it's a sex dream. Like, this is your time. This is, you can literally dream big.
You certainly can.
Anything can be happening in this dream with anyone. But my sex dream was merely me sitting and watching a computer screen, like watching porn and masturbating. That's my raunchy dream. Dreaming big.
I think that really shows. You really need to get out with some human interaction.
Yeah, possibly.
Spend a little bit too much time by yourself, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I woke up though and I'm like, I know what I'm doing this morning. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that's quite disgusting. And if she gets back to our theme, because
back to the theme,
me jerking is like, you know, probably something that I do see every day. So it's really off topic.
Oh my god!
Do you have a story about something that you wow? Back to theme.
Yes, let's move on, shall we? I used to go to TAFE. Mm-hmm. You know,
the learning institution, for those who don't know what TAFE
is. Yes, it is. I was learning how to be a cabinet maker.
Righto.
I didn't get told that I needed to go the first week that I did.
Ah, so you missed a week.
I missed the first week.
Right.
The second week I've turned up,
mm-hmm.
Which is already a bit of an awkward situation because all the other dudes have met each other.
Oh, they've all sort of established their little groups and stuff.
You know, it's very clicky.
Yeah,
they and know also they just recognise each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, I'm the new kid.
The outsider.
Exactly. We're sitting there. The teachers are taking the roll.
The roll call. Yep.
They get to my name. I say, yes. yes. Yep. Yep. And then, you know, it was all over. I'm the new gay kid now.
Yeah.
You know, my voice just broke for just a split second. It's all gone to me.
Yeah. You're the gay guy, which is probably convenient because they would have figured that out eventually. Get it out of the way.
You son of a bitch. Well, you're a real funny guy, you know that?
It is
a joke for you. Knock, knock. I'm going to punch you in the dick.
Who's there? what happened? You're there.
Yes.
Fit in because you missed a week.
Exactly.
Calling the role.
Thought I saw someone I knew on the other side of the classroom. I thought it was my good friend from high school, Shepard.
Right.
Best friend.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Shepard. It was a bizarro version. It's just a dude that looked like Shepard.
A lookalike.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of felt it looked so much like Shepard that I was like, I feel like I need to go talk to that guy.
Just go there and instantly friends with him.
Friends. I'm friends already, I feel.
Right.
As I started walking over to him, his friend came out of nowhere.
Right.
And walked up to him. He turned around and I noticed that guy was a bizarro me. So I'm looking at a bizarro pubes and Shepherd.
Right.
Which I'm quite used to in my own world.
It's like looking in
It almost created a paradox that I got sucked into. And instantly evaporated.
It's like a funhouse mirror version of yourself and your friend.
His chin was a little lower.
And I feel sorry for you that you thought you had a friend there, but it turns out someone's already filled the position of you, essentially. Sorry, this role's taken.
Exactly.
Oh, that's quite good.
Do you know what time it is?
Well, it's not time for my segment, but we have scrapped that from the existence. It's time for your segment. The news. Tell us the news, Luke.
Did you see this in the news?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Did you see this in the news? And I know you didn't because you're away at this time.
Right, okay, that's handy.
I found a photo. It was big news a while ago. A giant 3-meter great white shark found off the coast of Queensland.
That's a big shark.
I'm going to show you a picture right now.
Okay.
Because just this shark...
I'll do my best to describe this picture because this is not a visual medium. Okay, so what I'm looking at there is a big shark. That's a big shark.
Holy shit.
That's like a Jaws-style great white shark. And
it has been bitten almost in half.
There is a chunk missing out of the side of that shark. It looks
obviously
like...
obviously, more giant shark.
I would say Godzilla bit that shark in half.
I think everyone's seen it, but I'll put it up on Facebook so everyone can have another look.
Facebook. Yeah. You'll put it up there, will you? How exactly will you do that?
Sorcery.
No, I'll pop it up there. It's if you want to look, facebook.com/ Ander and Pubes.
That
one
is
word.
Proper Jaws type shit.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's scary.
When I saw that, it reminded me of a story that I once heard that in the movie Jaws,
yep.
Richard Dreyfuss is in a cage.
Richard Dreyfuss, carry on.
Is in a cage under the water with the shark.
Mm-hmm.
But Steven Spielberg wanted a 9-meter shark.
That's a
to be Jaws.
Big shark.
You know? But all they could really find in actuality was 6-meter sharks. Still
disappointing.
Big shark.
That's a
goddamn big shark.
Yeah.
But to get this sense of scale,
mm-hmm.
what Steven Spielberg wanted to do was use a midget in a tiny cage.
Okay. That's quite clever.
Well, yes. That midget's name was Frank Rizzo.
Right.
He got the job in Jaws because he turned up at the audition bleeding from the face because he'd been in a car accident in the car park.
And Steve's just like, that is the exact look I'm
That's
going
what I'm for. Going
for.
Yep. That man is bloody. Get him in the water with a shark. This is not going to end badly. No,
seems good. I'd have just used a child. That's what I'd have done.
Well, you know, Richard Dreyfuss, he's got a bit of a gut and a beard.
I happen to know that you have a phobia.
I am absolutely terrified of sharks. Yeah. And me and the old GF are going overseas next month. We're going to the Philippines, which is going to be nice. I haven't been there before.
Yep.
And for $16, you can go out on a boat and swim with a whale shark.
Wow.
Which she really wants to do. And I am excited and terrified to do that. But I think it's a,
they're
it's
very
a fun
big.
Thing to do.
They are the biggest fish and the biggest shark.
Yeah, exactly. It is they are huge. A giant piece thing. Of fish.
But yeah, it is probably closer to being a fish than a shark. It doesn't have teeth. It can't bite you, so you're quite safe.
Okay. As long as I'm not wearing my plankton shorts.
Don't let it swallow you whole.
Exactly. So yeah, I am terrified of sharks. And I can actually pinpoint the exact moment where that happened. I was watching the Discovery Channel not too long ago.
Right.
It's what I do.
It is. As far as I know, that's what you do with all of your downtime, like just Discovery Channel.
And I was watching a shark program where a diver is in the shark cage trying to film with an underwater infrared camera.
Right.
You know, it goes a lot further.
Really pierce through that darkness.
Really gets through there. Yeah. Looking out all around him, there's meat floating in the water.
Yeah.
And there are no sharks around. Right. The camera pans down a little bit through the floor of the cage.
Right, yeah.
Just out of the murky depths, the darkness. Up swims a great white shark.
Oh, Christ.
And that was the moment where I kind of realized that sharks come from under you as well.
So you don't have to worry about around you.
No. The ocean is massively deep and there could be many sharks under there.
Yeah, that's
and
terrifying. I'm actually scared of sharks now.
It's kind of freaking me out a little just to think about it. But, they've got that menacingly slow, purposeful swim to the surface and it's not for me.
I know exactly the feeling. I'm you know, sharks aren't a phobia of mine. Okay. I would be scared, admittedly, if I saw one in my, you know, life
shower.
But what is that irrational sort of fear for me is snakes. And it's the same. I can pinpoint the moment. I was at my mum's house up in the valley, and out of the sort of stonework at the top of the driveway, a big black snake came slithering out onto the gravel of the driveway and then along the front of the house.
Okay, yeah.
I was on the balcony 3 or 4 meters above this happening.
Well safe.
Very safe, but just rooted to the spot. I could not move from fear.
Yeah,
it was just, I was real.
It's the same
stiff.
Thing. They have that like dead eyes.
Yeah.
And that serpent's gaze that just pierces your soul as the tongue's coming out.
And the way that head kind of moves from side to side softly. Yeah. Stop that. It's not scary when you do that, Luke. It's kind of arousing.
I'm tasting the air.
Actually, speaking of that, I saw the Harry Potter movie, the new one. Part one of the last story.
Or how whatever was it?
It was
spoiler alert?
No, I won't spoil anything.
Okay.
But there's a lot of snake gear in there, right? And so I'm scared of snakes.
It's snake heavy,
but
that movie.
For anyone that knows me, they'll know that about me, that it's a thing that I do of being scared of jumpy noises. I could have worded that better.
Well, you know, we'll get it in post.
I am very jumpy in movies. Like suspense thriller movies where they do that sudden boom sort of thing and it jumps and jumps out. Yeah, I jump in romantic comedies where that isn't even the intention of the director. It's just something happens.
Like
there's a clatter on the table and I jump through
a romantic clatter.
So I'm very jumpy.
Yeah.
The director of this Harry Potter film, however, had decided to go with that jumpy suspense thing a few times in the movie and each time using the snake. It sets it up with the suspense that you know a snake is about to come out at your face, like at the camera.
The snake is a device for fear.
Yeah.
And suspense. Whoa, yeah.
Dude, it was, I was terrified. But a good movie apart from that.
Yeah.
But pretty good. Pretty good. I liked it. I do like watching a Harry Potter movie.
You did like it?
Unfortunately, I had like a jumbo mega size Coke, you know, those cinema Cokes. I did have to go up and pee about 5 times during
the film. My
guess
is you were just trying to get out of there so your girlfriend wouldn't see you weep.
Yeah. Well, either way, I did have to get out though, and that means, you know, that awkward thing in the cinema where it was very busy.
Yeah.
You got to shuffle along, shimmying through the
touching people's knees.
Yeah,
you got to make the choice between cock in face or ass in face.
Yeah. It's very awkward.
Yeah, very difficult.
Once you've done that, you got to go along the front of the cinema.
In front of the screen.
You get all the down in front sort of gear.
Yeah.
It's quite awkward. Yeah, speaking of that, you know, this is like that to the nth degree. I don't know what that means.
Mathematics for your asses.
Yeah, this is maths. No, remember when we were in Yokohama, we went to the onsen?
I do remember, yes.
The steam room and the hot springs and all that kind of deal.
Yes.
Yeah, we actually spoke about that in another episode.
Yes.
This was a big deal, this place. Like, it was a real big professional sort
of
deal.
Yeah. People love it.
They had three, not one, not two, but three saunas, right? Sauna, hot steam room sort of things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because of the mass of people that went there.
Each of these
steam rooms had a specific purpose.
Yeah.
And different, like, mineral-infused steam all kinds of different...
Infused with nutmeg at one point.
Oh, it was amazing. It was delicious. But the main one was quite big, and it was kind of like a... you go in and there's the sort of, I don't know, staircase-style seating.
Yeah. Just like tiers.
Tiered seats.
Yeah.
And you go in.
You're sitting where someone's feet are.
Basically, yeah.
And each level goes up and up.
And at the front of that, at the front of the room, was a big screen.
Yeah.
Like a cinema.
You go into a steam room to sweat it out and
watch some TV at the same time. Big cinema-style screen. But everyone's naked in these quarters. So when you come in to the steam room,
everyone looks at you.
10 odd people sitting up on the seats, and you've got to make your way past the TV screen naked.
Touching knees with people.
Yeah,
and doing the cockerel ass.
Sorry, excuse the dick.
Down in front. Get that dick out of here.
It's way too big. So that was very awkward.
So homoerotic, that joint.
Very gay. So gay, Rachmaninoff.
So many, like, that place was full of French authors. Balzac's. It's a highfalutin joke.
Balzac's everywhere. Oh yeah, you've really gone up a class with that dick joke there. Highbrow dick joke, that one. Good on you, mate.
God damn it. I think it's time that we reveal a little something we've been working on the last couple of weeks. A bit of a sketch.
Yep.
This is good. I'm excited about this one. We're opening with our new cereal, our new Radiola cereal.
Right.
Yes. Very old timey.
Mm-hmm.
Heroes and violins.
Yes.
Can you put some reverb on that echo or something?
Due to the magic of post production, Luke, I already have.
Hey, nice. That's the way it is. And
hit it.
Here it is. Last time we left our intrepid hero, he had infiltrated evil Dr. Stradivarius's lair.
Aha, Stradivarius. You look a little wound up.
But the tables were turned when the evil doctor revealed he had kidnapped our hero's fiancée.
Ah, no! Help me, help me!
How will our hero get out of this one? Stay tuned for Heroes and Violins.
You're never gonna get away with this, Stradivarius. What? No, you can't! Hundreds of people will die! No! No! I will never help you! No!
There it is! So hopefully you like that. Stay tuned for the next episode, I guess.
Oh, jeez. It's going to be intense. Okay. Well, let's hit out another story before we go.
Yeah, before we start wrapping this up.
And I've got a beauty. I really do like... I think I've saved the best for last. I really do.
That is good.
Because I find this hilarious.
Yeah.
It's not really a story so much as just something that I heard.
Yeah, but it's
good.
It's the exact thing of the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was while I was in Yokohama I heard this.
Yep.
And Yokohama is a port city, it's a city on the bay.
Would you say shanty town?
No, I wouldn't. It's very well developed and modern. But
it is where the ships come
Shipping's coming in, a lot of shipping yard sort of deal. It was a big thing in the newspaper and on the radio and everything. This story. A guy...
Wharfie, yes.
He was unloading a container from Australia.
Okay.
Full of Australian...
Goods. Boomerangs.
Beef. Yeah.
Akubras.
Etc. Australian paraphernalia. Anyway, he was unloading this container and he saw scurry out of the container a few, like three or four redback spiders.
Oh, okay. And they scurried out
and down into the cracks and were gone.
Yes.
But he knew what they were, having been to Australia. He knew that these were potentially deadly spiders.
Yeah.
And,
They are. There's the potential you will die if not treated.
And they don't have. They don't have deadly stuff in Japan. Very rare. There's no snakes. There's no deadly spiders. The snakes are all harmless. Yeah. Everything's... There's no poisonous things, really.
Snow monkeys are hanging out in, like, tropical rainforest.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Having baths.
Picking each other's fur. It ended up in front page news. Like, deadly Australian spiders on the loose in Yokohama. It was like hue and cry everywhere. Like, you know, it was...
The massive story.
Terror.
Be careful.
Grips the nation as four Australian spiders make their way on a killing streak through the town, sort of thing. Yeah, it was quite good. It was as if a serial killer had gone loose.
They are
considered armed and dangerous and are to be avoided at all costs.
Mind every step that you take.
Yeah. Tread the ground very carefully. Inspect it if you must.
These people can deal with Godzilla. But a tiny spider.
No.
Run for the hills. Yeah. that's good, man. Well done. Good storytelling. Yeah?
Thank you very much. I am quite amazing. Really, sometimes I blow myself away. Other times I just do it at home.
Oh, my God. On that note, once again,
this has been
the low point of the show. It's time to wrap it up.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been great.
It's nice
really
to see
good
you
episode
again.
Out of you, Luke.
Thank you.
And you will reap your rewards in the afterlife.
Fantastic. Can't wait.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.